Thank you, Father. Gracias, Padre. Oh, sweet Jesus. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. John 12. We spent the week in Honduras this week, and such a thankful heart for the privilege of being able to serve. So thankful. God is everywhere and God is at work, and I don't mean that in different, I do mean that in different nations, but I mean that God is everywhere and God is at work. And I challenge you this week, as you go about your business, as you go about your life, to look for Him, and you will see Him, you'll encounter Him, you'll be amazed by Him, you'll be blown away by Him. I sat on a flight yesterday afternoon coming back from Honduras to Miami and started journaling. I wanted to write things down while it was fresh on my mind, and just got wrecked in the Holy Spirit at the goodness of God and the blessings of Him and how He is at work and stirring and I see Him everywhere. I saw Him everywhere this week. And it was just truly, truly amazing. Early in the week, I had withdrawals this morning, Marty, at about 5 a.m. Me and Marty had, every morning we had 5 a.m. coffee in the kitchen, and just sit and drank multiple cups of coffee and just talked about the Lord and what God was doing and what we were seeing Him do. And it was just really, really good time. And if you create space for Him, He will fill it. If you create space for Him, He will fill it. If you'll create space in not just your life, but in other people's lives, He will fill it. I promise you that. I want to come back, and I've a lot of times I used to get kind of frustrated and aggravated, and I get it a little bit, but people would come back from mission trips, and man, they would bash Americans and bash the church, and we're spoiled and take everything for granted and da-da-da-da-da-da and all of that stuff. I want to come back and say thank you. I want to say thank you for your generosity. I want to say thank you for your giving. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you guys for that. Just this week, man, we were able to go down and in the physical, we were able to make. We didn't build a house this week. We typically try to, but we made 300 food bags. I mean, it would be more like a food box for 300 households down there. We distributed 275 of them. And when I say a food bag, there's like 13 items in it. It's legit. I was very proud of what we were giving the people. I mean, it's flour and beans and rice and you know, cornmeal and just salt and sugar and some coffee and, you know, just different things that are good. Lard, a thing of lard, you know, things of butter and stuff like that. And we were able to give that to all these households. And that's a direct result of y'all's generosity. It's a direct result of y'all's generosity. We were able to go down and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, Marty, but I get in trouble all the time. We were able to carry down funds for 3 months worth of operations down there. We're feeding between 50 and 75 kids twice a week. And they're getting a good meal. And I asked Marvin and David, I said, the average Honduran family, I said, how often do they get to eat meat? And he said, probably about once a week. Usually it's chicken. And we're feeding these kids two good meals with meat twice a week. And giving them a Bible study while they're being fed. They're getting the word. Man, it's good. And for the people that were down there, I really felt like I'm gonna do a Bill Johnson this morning, just break off what's on my heart. I felt like the real thrust of this week was us to go down and to undergird and encourage and strengthen the people that have given their lives to kingdom service. To me, this was about Jorge and Jesse and Franklin and Roosevelt and Kayla and Roosevelt's wife, her name, Suni. And David and Amber and people that have just absolutely, you know, I'm blown away by these people. That a 20-something-year-old girl would just wade into the middle of inner city to go Sogape, Brett, and say, I'm going to start an addiction ministry among the homeless and to go Sogape, and how volatile that is. And a 20-something-year-old girl, when she started, I think Amber's been in her 17 years now, is what she said. She's adopted 6 kids that nobody else wanted. We went into her home when we were in the city, and Brett, it was maybe organized chaos. It would be a stretch to say organized, but it was just so right that she's come in and she's adopted these kids that nobody else wants. And she said, I'll be a mother to you. And that's what he's done for us, is he's come in and he's adopted us. And he said, I'll be a father to you, regardless of the circumstances. I'll be a father to you. And I really felt the big thing of us doing, yeah, the 300 food bags were awesome and all that. But the big thing was to go in and just to strengthen and encourage and undergird and come in and carry funds and say, hey, this is, God is here and God is moving and God is consistent and he's not going anywhere and he's going to provide your needs, and come in and be able to leave that in place. And say, hey, we'll see you again in a few months. You know, Marty, quicker than that, but we'll see you again in a couple months. And just the consistency of our God. And I want to say thank you for you guys, because y'all help facilitate that. Part of your church ties goes to that. Not only that, but it goes to the Philippines. It goes to Mozambique. It goes to the CCC. You know, the domestic stuff. And it's because you guys are generous and you give and you're like, man, here, God, you take this and use this. And then many of you go beyond that, beyond your tithes, and you give extra and you sow into these ministries and all that. And all I can tell you to do is just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Get extravagant in your generosity. Be extravagant in your generosity, because God multiplies it exponentially. God multiplies it exponentially. Early in the week, God carried me to John 12, I guess Monday night, first night down there, and that's what I want to preach out of this morning. But let's just turn to John 12. We're going to be in verse 20. We'll see how this goes this morning. This is very, very profound scripture. It's very interesting scripture. It's some of this that God is, even though I've been in the ministry for over 30 years and have preached and taught out of this, it's so layered that he's continuing to peel back layers on this. And, I want us to, it's just proved to be significant to me all week and continues to be so. And so I felt the real strong push of the Holy Spirit. I just knew all week this is what I was supposed to give you guys. Let me give you the time setting. I'm going to be in the Passion Translation. The time setting on this is right after Palm Sunday. Jesus has had the supper at Bethany, where he came in to Simon the leper's house, Simon the redeemed leper's house. And just the redemption process is beautiful, guys. God's redemption process is absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely amazing. It is stunning. God's redemption process is stunning. When I sit and I look and I see someone, Simon, that used to be a leper, we talked about it last week on being a house of Bethany and how he hosts the presence. He hosted Jesus. We look at Mary and Martha and everyone that was redeemed and that was in the process of being redeemed. We look and see in this scripture right here, and we're looking at Philip and Andrew, and just this whole process of redemption, and it is absolutely stunning when we get to see that. It says, I really got wrecked because I saw a woman that was a process of regeneration, a process of transformation, a process of total redemption. I guess 3 years ago was the first time I met her, and we went into her home. We were going out and we were going house to house and giving out food boxes. We went in, it was one of the poorest homes I've ever been in, besides the homes around the dump and all of that, but one of the poorest homes I've ever been in. But she was so gracious. She said, I'm very poor, but you're welcome in my home. And so we walked into her home and we prayed blessings, and we gave her food and we prayed blessings over her, and she prayed over us. And she had faith, and she had great faith in the Lord, but in a place of desperation and just trying to survive and provide food for her two children, a son and a daughter. And this week, guys, I saw her again, and I've seen her since then, but this week I saw her again in a new light. And because of your generosity, because of you creating space, she's helping cook the meals for the feedings twice a week. And I saw her being so excited about serving and being in a place. I told Marty, I said, Carolina is walking in purpose right now. And I said, man, it's flowering all over her. It's beautiful to see it on her. Because she's so excited because she's helping cook the meals. And then I watched her serve these, 50, 60, 75 kids, whatever the number looks like each day. It was off a little bit because the kids were, a lot of them were in the tomato fields picking tomatoes. You know, the 11, 12-year-olds were out. That was their job, was picking tomatoes. I think Scott showed pictures of Friday, and they had a lot more Friday because they weren't. But we had over 50 kids. But she was helping cook the food, and she was helping to serve these children. And then before she served the food, Brett, she leads Bible study. She teaches Sunday school in her little church. And she leads the Bible study twice a week. And then that evening after we had the feeding and all that, that evening we were preparing the 300 food boxes. And it's pretty laborious, you can imagine. We were doing that, and I was like, Carolina is working her tail off. I mean, just like, I mean, with joy. I put that in my journaling. I said she was working her tail off with joy. And I said, God said to me, she said, that's what walking in purpose looks like. That's what living in purpose looks like. And God wants us to be a people that live in purpose. And just the whole redemption thing was beautiful, man. It's beautiful, because I've seen the before and the after, and I know you guys have. But to see the redemption of God coming in and transforming a life, and that's what I want to talk about in that, is a beautiful, beautiful thing. In this scripture right here, it says that we are after the triumphal entry. Remember the Palm Sunday where Jesus comes in and all the people are there and they are taking the palm branches and they're laying them down. They are ushering in Jesus. He's coming in to Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All of this stuff. He comes riding in a donkey, riding on a donkey, just a picture of peace. And he comes riding into Jerusalem. And so after this happens, now I don't know if it was the next day. I don't know if it was that afternoon. I don't know when it was, but this is Holy Week now. This is the week of we're leading up to the arrest, the Garden of Gethsemane experience. The foot washing comes immediately after that. Then the trial and the crucifixion and all of that stuff. So we're in the middle of Holy Week right here. And it says in verse 20, now there were a number of foreigners This is out of the Aramaic. The Greek text said there were a number of Greeks from among the nations who were worshipers at the feast. They went to Philip, who came from the village of Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, "Would you take us to see Jesus? We want to see him." So Philip went to find Andrew, and then they both went to inform Jesus. I like this. Philip goes and he says, "Man, I'm going to go get Andrew in on this, and we're going to petition him together." And so Philip gets Andrew, and they come to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, they're foreigners here, and they want to see you. These Greeks, they want to see you. They want to meet you, Jesus. They want to come into your presence, Jesus." And Jesus' response, I'll be honest with you, I've always felt and hadn't clearly understood it. And I'm like, this is a really odd response. In verse 23, he replied to them, did not even address the Greek thing. Did not say, "Man, bring them on in. Yeah, man, I'd love to see them. I can give them some kingdom stuff and all that." Did not have any of that going on, man. He addressed Andrew and Philip. And he said, "Now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died," and I'll say, "and was planted." I'm going to go ahead and read a couple more verses, and then we're going to come back to this. "The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life." Boy, that goes in with Matthew 6. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In verse 27, he says, "Even though I am torn within and my soul is in turmoil, I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial. For I have come to fulfill my purpose, to offer myself to God. So, Father, bring glory to your name." And then we see the thing of the Father comes in and a booming voice. I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture. "Then suddenly a booming voice was heard from the sky. I have glorified my name and I will glorify it through you again. The audible voice of God startled the crowd standing nearby. Some thought it was only thunder, yet others said an angel just spoke to him. Then Jesus told them, 'The voice you heard was not for my benefit, but for yours, to help you believe.'" Now listen to this, it's huge. This is why I want to go down here. I love this. He says, "From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change." Whew. Feel the weight on that. From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. "For the ruler of this dark world will be overthrown." The ruler of this dark world will be overthrown. "And I will do this when I am lifted up off the ground and when I draw the hearts of people to gather them to me." From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. Can you believe that? I mean, we look at this, man, and this is historical time. This is something that was obviously the whole shift of the heavenlies, the whole shift of the world, the whole shift of purpose, the whole shift of creation. This was the moment that everything shifted. Obviously, it was Jesus coming, and we're celebrating that right now in the Christmas season, but ultimately fulfilled in Jesus going to Calvary's cross and paying our sin debt, guys. And because of what he was doing, he said, "From this moment on, everything's about to change. From this moment on, everything is shifting. From this moment on." And because of redemption, because I am spilling my blood to redeem humanity, I'm spilling my blood to redeem Jeff Vaughn. I'm spilling my blood to redeem Haven Trantham. I'm spilling my blood to redeem Mary House. I'm spilling my blood to redeem every one of us as individuals. And so what he's saying, from this moment on, everything will change. Can you believe that for yourself? From this moment on, everything will change. From this moment in my life, everything will change. Because he has created space for this to happen. He's made a provision for this to happen. From this moment on, everything will change. I feel like I'm in a constant state of rebirth. And I understand the scripture says it's the Greek word that the Apostle Paul uses is metamorphi, the word we get metamorphosis from. And it's a transformation. And I feel like my life is a constant state of transformation. It's a constant state of rebirth. It's a constant state of being born again, 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 and again, and again. And I want to be at a place where I'm coming in and I'm believing from this moment on everything in this world is about to change. I want to believe that in my life. I want to believe that in my home. I want to believe that in our community. I want to believe it in Victory Fellowship. I want to believe it in the United States. I want to believe it in the nations. I want to believe it in the nations. From this moment on, everything's about to change. For the ruler of this world, it didn't say might, I hope, it says will be overthrown. And guess what? He was, because he came triumphant with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I feel like a little bit old school preacher right there. But that is the absolute truth. The word says he led captivity captive. Jesus came away with something. And it was the power and the authority. It was the title deed to planet Earth. I love the picture in Revelation and God's, you know, the word says that John wept much because they, you know, they're looking and who can redeem all of creation. And they looked at all the elders and they looked at all of the mighty men of the Bible and the apostles and all of this and the prophets and the patriarchs, and nobody was able to step forward but the Lamb. And he stepped forward. And he took that, and he says, I bought it with my blood. And from this moment on, everything will change, because the lion lost his teeth. He has his roar, but he lost his teeth. For the ruler of this dark world will be overthrown. And I will do this when I am lifted up. And he did this when he was lifted up. So getting back to what, that excites me. I don't know about you guys. I want my life to be a constant from this moment on. Everything in this world is about to change. From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. I want that to be constant in my constant life. And so the Greeks were desiring to see Jesus. They came to Philip and they said, would you take us to see Jesus? We want to see him. A very reasonable request. They came to Jerusalem to, obviously they were, it doesn't say if they were new believers as Christians or if they were, had come in and just embraced the Jewish faith and they were worshipers of Yahweh. But either way, they were there because of the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Jews. And then they'd heard about Jesus, and perhaps they were already believers in from afar, maybe of the baptism of John. And they said, we want to see Jesus. We've heard of Lazarus. We've heard of miracles. We've heard of healings. We've heard of all of these things, and we want to see Jesus. And so they came and they said, we want to see him. And then Philip and Andrew, gets Andrew, they came to Jesus, and Jesus comes in. He says, let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. Is that not an odd response? And Agatha's coming in and they're saying, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus starts talking about wheat dropping into the ground and dying. And I'm like, did you miss the question? Because you're not addressing the question at all. But on the front end of this, he said, let me make this clear. This is significant, guys. It's what he's saying to them. He said, Andrew, Philip, this is significant. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat, this hit me real hard. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. And you know what my response to that was? Brett, my response to that was, God, I don't want to be a single grain of wheat. To me, just a single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat. That's a sad statement. I've got, I give my chicken scratch food, and basically all it is seeds. It's corn, it's millet, it's wheat, it's rye, it's different seeds. It's all it is, different seeds. and I'll carry it and I'll put it out for quail. We got a couple of wild coveys of quail I'm trying to feed and all that stuff. But it's just seed in itself, and it sits in a dry container. And it's a feed can that's up at the chicken coop, and the seed sits in that dry container. And as long as it sits in that dry container, you know what it is? It is nothing more than a collection of single seeds. And I believe I can look around and I can see so many Christians in their lives, and they're just like those seeds. Just like that grain of corn, just like that grain of wheat, just like that grain of millet. And by itself, with no moisture, with no planting, with no dropping into the ground, with no dying, it cannot become anything more glorious than what it is. And I want to tell you something, guys. God saved us. He shed his blood for us. He filled us with his Holy Spirit so we would be way more than a single grain of wheat. He wants to transform us just like I sit there with my own eyes. And I know you can too because you know the backstory. No, you can too because you know the backstory. And see what he's doing in one individual woman's life. And I'm like, that is so beautiful. That is amazing. What it looks like when somebody is walking in purpose, it's like a different person. Just the countenance and the way they carry yourself and all that. And I see so many Christians, and they're beat down and they're tired and they're discouraged and all of that. You know why? Because they're operating as a single grain of wheat. And I'm like, God, it's an insult to the gospel for me to operate as a single grain of wheat. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless the good news on this is there's so much potential. If I'd have had time, I had planned in my mind, I said, man, I want to bring in just some seed and show y'all a handful of seed. You don't know what seed looks like. I wanted to bring in an acorn, get a low water oak acorn and bring that in. And by itself, it's nothing more than potential. By itself, it's nothing more than potential. By itself, it's nothing more than what can be. What could be. What could be. What could this have been? And the world may say it's insignificant. The world may say it's not much. I look at millet seed and it's tiny. It's so small. It's maybe a 20th the size of a grain of corn. It's probably a fourth of the size of a grain of wheat. And in itself, it is small, it is insignificant, it is nothing. But when it's planted into the ground and it dies and it begins the transformation process, you know what it is? It becomes something glorious because it produces so much. There are oak trees around our house, and I absolutely love these oak trees because they're so old and they're so big. It's why we chose to. There were better locations on our property to build our house the years ago, but we said, nah, and I wish I had in some of them, but the reason we planted them there was simply because oak trees. Because they were small, but I knew that one day they would become this, where I couldn't reach around the base of them. But it started out as a single seed. It started out as a single seed, as a single acorn. But you know what happened? It died and it got planted. It died and it got planted. It fell into the ground. And then when it fell into the ground, God started doing stuff. It started receiving nutrients. It started receiving moisture. It started sprouting and all of that. And I want to come in and, man, I want to encourage you guys so much to come in and allow God. And here's the thing. Here's what trips us up on this. Jesus said, unless it drops into the ground and dies. We hate that die part, don't we? I hate that dying part because that means I'm going to lose everything. It means I'm going to lose everything. It means I'm gonna give my life up and I'm gonna be this martyr and God's gonna ask me to be Mother Teresa or you know, send me to the Philippines like Jeff or wherever. Or I'm gonna not be able to chase after this and this and this and this and this. And the dying scares us to death. But I wanna tell you something, in comparison, the transformation that takes place, the rebirth that takes place is so glorious, anything that is lost in the dying pales in comparison. And that's what I want you to get, man, is don't let the dying scare you. Let the dying be a necessary process of bringing the rebirth in. And the rebirth is what's glorious. The rebirth is what's amazing. The rebirth is what produces fruit. unless it drops into the ground and dies, because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. People often ask me, say, man, where do you think the church is? And where, you know, not just talking about Victory Fellowship, where do you think the church is? And where are you at? And what do you feel like's going on? And all, you know what I really feel like in my spirit, what I feel like's going on right now? I feel like there's a sprouting that's going on. See, the sprouting and the dying are almost simultaneous. I know y'all have seen seeds that, when the sprout starts coming out and the root starts coming out, and it starts going down so it can pull nutrients, and it's a process. But the acorn in itself, or the seed in itself, it died as it got planted. But the beauty is when it begins to transform and become something. And I really feel like that we're in the sprouting right now. I feel like I'm in the sprouting. I feel like so many of you guys are in the sprouting right now. And some of that, there's some simultaneous dying going on. And that's cool, because that's a beautiful death. It's a glorious thing, guys. I promise you, it is a glorious thing. You're like, man, I don't like this. This kind of hurts. This is kind of rough. You know, I'm going through the processes. But it's glorious, because the end result of that is what it produces. That's what it produces. What did Jesus say over here in verse 27? He said, I have come to fulfill my purpose. It's like my primary thing, guys. My primary thing is to offer myself to God. That's it. Brett, that's his purpose. It didn't say heal the sick. I mean, he came in and he declared, as he stood in the temple, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointing me to do all of these things. And that's what he did, because that's who he was. But he said, my purpose is to offer myself to Father, to give myself to Yahweh. Offer myself to God. And so he says, so Father, bring glory to your name. Out of that, from this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. So I want to ask you this morning, I'm gonna read a few notes, and then we're going to, we're going 1, 2, 3 break. But I want to ask you this morning, are you operating as a single grain of wheat? Because if all we're doing is operating as a single grain of wheat, unless we are planted, unless we die, we will never be more than a single grain of wheat. And that is sad to me. I do not want that to be my lot in life. I don't want to go into heaven and wish I could hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and him say, come on in, you single grain of wheat. I love you. But this is what could have been. This is what could have been. You know what Jesus was telling, and this is something I've never seen before, but you know what Jesus was telling Philip and Andrew in this right here, when they're making the petition, these people want to see you. And he doesn't even address, he starts talking to Philip and Andrew about what's about to happen in their life. And you know what he's saying in this? He's saying, they're going to see me through you. They don't have to come see me. He said, they're going to see me through you. They're going to see me through you. That was what he was trying to teach them. That I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be resurrected, and I'm going to birth. Everything's different from here, but you know who's going to manifest that? You are. The whole world wanted to see Jesus. There were masses that were welcoming him in the triumphant entry at Palm Sunday. And Jesus said, they don't have to see me. Maybe they can't see me. If y'all hadn't noticed, Jesus had a pretty busy week that week. He had a lot going on. He had the Last Supper. He had the foot washing. He had all this teaching he needed to do his disciples. He had the Garden of Gethsemane he had to deal with. I'm not being funny in this, but he was pretty loaded that week. And somebody says, oh, we want to see you, Lord. Awesome. There's Philip and there's Andrew. If you've seen them, you've seen me. That's why Jesus came in and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we're supposed to, as we live a transformed life, then we're supposed to be able to say, if you've seen Brett House, you've seen Jesus. I don't know about that, man, all that stuff. You know how that comes to pass, Brett House? Unless a single grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will never be more than a single grain of wheat. But when it falls into the ground and it dies, and it's planted, and it sprouts, it produces something amazing. And you know what that amazing thing that it produces is? It is a son of Yahweh that looks like older brother Jesus. And the world sees him as they see you. And that's what he's trying to get across to Philip and Andrew. You're about to embark on something that is so ridiculously amazing. The whole world's going to be coming in. They said on the Apostle Paul later on, it wasn't my Apostle Paul. It was Peter and John. It says these two men have turned the world upside down. These two men have turned the world upside down. You know why? Because they look like Jesus. It said they marveled at them because they were unlearned Galileans. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. That's what the word says. They took note that they had been with Jesus. Because why? Because a grain of wheat didn't abide alone. It got planted, it died, and it sprouted, and it produced something glorious. And that's what God's plan is for all of y'all's lives this morning. Every one of you guys. Every one of y'all. Is God wants something beautiful and amazing that the world can look at that and say, oh my gosh, look at that flower. Carolina's still very poor. She gets a wage 2 days a week thanks to y'all's generosity and others. It's not just y'all, but it's others. Y'all part of it. She's still very, very poor. But she is this beautiful flower. It's like, oh my gosh. That's what wrecked me is because I saw it sprout. I knew it was redemption. I knew it was redemption. I could see her in the process of becoming something amazing because she was being redeemed in front of our very eyes. And he said, Philip, all they need to do is see you. They ain't got to come talk to me. They just need to see you. I want to tell you guys something. Man, redemption's a beautiful thing. Maybe you do, and I hope you do, but I wish you could feel redemption the way I feel redemption. Scott, Jeff, y'all, you know what we felt when we were standing on the property behind the ministry house, just us four, and we were telling you what we felt, overwhelmed with feeling. You know what that feeling was? It was redemption. It was land being redeemed. Because we'd just been sitting there and picking and eating stuff that was producing off a land that before it was redeemed was not producing. It's producing. Man, like me and Marty picking limes off a lime tree, eating limes. Marty said, this thing used to not bear limes. It was full of limes. And I looked at coffee trees, half dozen coffee trees. You know what? Loaded with coffee beans. Loaded with coffee beans. Lord said, can you bring some home? I said, well, I doubt they'll let me get through customs with it. But I sure as heck want to dry some of these babies out and roast them and drink the coffee from it. And we were undone. We were standing on holy ground, and you know what made that ground holy? It was the fact that it was being redeemed by the blood of Jesus, by the love of Jesus. And that's what your land's supposed to feel like. You say, man, I rent a house. It's your land that you're living on. You're supposed to feel like that. It's your home. That's my thing. It's your home. Your home can be an apartment building in New York City, but if it's your home, it's supposed to feel like redeemed. And I want to tell you something. The world feels it, and the world knows it. The land knows it. The land was at peace. I know to my core. That's what we got. Holy Spirit told me. He said, this land's not striving anymore. He said, peace. Because I breathed on it. And sons are walking on it. And it knows it's redeemed. And that's what your marriage is supposed to look like. And that's what your children are supposed to look like. That's what your household is supposed to look like. That's what your place of business is supposed to look like. You say, how does that come to pass, brother? How does that happen, brother? He just told you, he said, right here. He said, let me make this clear. When a grain of wheat drops into the ground and dies and is planted, it sprouts and produces a great harvest. All because one grain died. And it started with him, but it can, you know what that one grain dying is? That's your yes. That one grain dying was Jesus' yes. That one grain dying is your yes. And it starts with you. I say, man, you say, man, I got to get my husband on board. Let your yes be the first grain that dies. I got to get my wife on board. Let your yes be the first grain that dies. I got to get my kids on board. Let your yes be the first grain that dies. Man, I wish I could get the rest of the church on board and all that stuff, the rest of Victory on board. It starts with your yes, which is your grain of wheat dying. And then it sprouts and it produces. And the harvest is glorious. The harvest is glorious. They'll see me through you. They'll feel me and they'll know me because they'll see redemption in full bloom. That's my prayer for you guys today. That's my prayer for this house. That the world will see your beauty because of the redemption process. It has nothing to do with getting your stuff together and being vibrant and young. I got my feelings hurt. I got home from doggone mission trip. I had a letter from the Social Security. Do you know I can start drawing Social Security in 2 years, Brett? You talking about a reality check that makes you feel old. You know, you kind of thinking, oh, man, I'm young. I can do anything and all that. Then you get a letter from Social Security that said, you can start drawing in 2 years. And I'm like, snap. And I'll never be young again, but I can be glorious and beautiful because of the redemption and the transformation that's taking place in my life. And that's what the world needs to see. That's what's attractive to the world. We need to quit worrying about being the cool church and the relevant church. I'll be honest with y'all, man. I spent way too much focus and energy on trying to be relevant. Confession from me. Man, if we can just be relevant, people will be attracted to that. If we can be relevant, people will be attracted to that. If we can be, you know, maybe a little bit. If we can be cool, people want to. Because I've tried to be the cool preacher and all of that stuff. God's like, that ain't what they need to see. You know what they need to see? Redemption and transformation in full bloom. That's what's attractive to the world. That's what draws people to you. Let's keep being that. Let's keep being that. Starts with dying and planting. But it's beautiful. Let's be that. Let's be those people. I purposed in my heart, and I said, man, I'm going to be that man. And Lori and I have a singular yes, but we have a yes together. And we both come in with a singular yes, and we've got a yes together now. And we said, we're going to be those people. We're going to be that. And I pray that as God stirs and moves and draws, that he brings you on in. And many of you are in the middle of that. You're in the sprouting, as I said a while ago. But it's only in that. He said, let me be clear in this. That's where it's at. Let me be clear in this. That is where it's at. So I hope this morning you receive something from that. That wasn't a come on in and beat you up sermon. That was a, I don't think anybody in here. I could start right with Jeff, definitely, but I could start right here and I could say, hey, Mary, do you want your life to wind up looking like just a single grain of wheat? I mean, did y'all get the connotation in that? That a single grain of wheat will only ever be a single grain of wheat. That was just, Jesus is like, oh man, that ain't what you want. You want to be something glorious and beautiful and amazing that attracts the world to him. Not attracts the world to you, but attracts the world to him. Doesn't matter how many followers you have, it matters how many followers he has. Doesn't how many followers our church has. It matters how many followers he has. I have been getting some good little encouragement stuff lately, though. I was bird hunting with a guy a couple weeks ago when we were gone, and he's like, you know, the girl's like, man, I was listening to y'all's worship the other day, and, you know, all of this. I was like, that's awesome. I was in Honduras, and one of the guys said, man, I listened to Marty preaching the other day on podcast. In Honduras, he was listening to the services here. I'm like, that's awesome, brother. That's awesome. Let's be more than a single grain. Can we do that? Our kids need us to be more than that. Our grandchildren need us to be more than that. Quit waiting for them to be world changers. And you say yes. That's really what this is about this morning. It's what Christmas is about. Y'all go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm done. I was going to read some of my journaling, but I'm not. Lord's like, no, just let it be private. Christmas is all about Yahweh's yes, and it's all about Jesus' yes. Dying is intentional. Planting is intentional. But remaining a single grain of wheat's intentional too. Because the thing about it, you got a choice to make. You can say, I'm good with this because it's safe. I mean, I know most of you guys, nearly everybody in here, man, I know you guys. There's a good probability that 95% of y'all have said yes to Jesus and you're in relationship with him, and you die, you're going to go to heaven. If a rapture happened next 5 minutes, you know, we out of here and all of that stuff. But it's about more than that. Jesus didn't just die to carry you to heaven with him. So let's get out of the dry comfort of just being that unplanted seed. And let's allow him to put us in the ground and sprout us and grow us, transform us. So that the whole world can see what redemption looks like. The whole world can feel what redemption looks like. They can feel what redemption looks like. So, let us be those people. All right? Everybody good? Woo, yeah. I'm good. I've been walking around for weeks now, not just this week. I've been walking around for weeks now, and I'll catch myself, humming or singing, "It is well. It is well with my soul." 'Cause he's got his hand on our lives, guys. Got his hand on your life, Beth. You're sprouting. And it's gonna become something glorious. It's in the process of becoming something glorious. It affects and you think nobody sees it, but they see it. I was watching Carolina lead Bible study with those kids, Krista, and I was standing in the kitchen and I got tore up. I had to leave and go to the back and to start weeping. I mean, it was with a convulsion, just like, them old goofy cries. Because I saw something in the midst of redemption. And I said, "God, you're beautiful and you're glorious. I loved what I saw in her, but you know who got the glory out of it?" I said, "God, you're beautiful and you're glorious. You look what the, we sang it a while ago, look what the Lord has done. Come and see what God has done." Noel, Noel. That's what your life's supposed to look like. I've been crying too much lately. It's good. It's good. Marty, you got anything? Lori? I always ask my wife. All right. I want us to do something. We haven't done this in forever. COVID kicked us out of this, and if you want to get hand sanitizer as soon as we're done, let's slide together and join hands.
About it this whole time. I feel like if I leave without sharing, I'm going to regret not sharing it. Good friend of mine that a lot of you know, but her sister has bulimia, however you say it. And it's like textbook case. If I had not seen the pictures, I wouldn't have really known how serious it was. She looks like a Holocaust victim. And it's been going on for years. And really, since she was a teenager, she's had eating disorders. She collapses. She's got two children. She fell down the stairs about a week ago, down the basement stairs, taking the vacuum down, and she's got two broken wrists, broken jawbone, broken neck bone. They can't do surgery because she's too frail and her blood pressure's, I think, too high. And anyway, she's in denial. Even her husband's in denial. Because every time you try to confront her, she just goes into a rage about it. She's just deceived. And, the only thing that's going to set her free is God. And I just want to share, 10 years ago, her and her husband had been struggling with infertility for years and had been trying to have children. And she, they were, about to start looking into the adoption process. And she ended up driving from Buckhead where she lives, and me and Linda and Robin met her here, and my friend wasn't even able to come, so she had never met us, and she came here and sat right there, and the three of us prayed over her to have a child. And a few months later, she was pregnant with her first child, and now she has an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, and there's something in there that knows, that God's the answer, but she just needs the scales lifted from her eyes and this demon just rebuked and to leave her body. And so the specific prayer is just for the deception, for her to realize that she's got an issue and that she can be delivered and healed from this. So I just want to ask you all to pray. Her name's Brooke.
You may think you're small, but you're not. You may think you're insignificant, but you're not. You may think we're small, but we're not. You may think the kingdom of God is overwhelmed by darkness right now, but it's not. It's not. It is not. Man, let's just come before the Lord and ask Him to take our yes and make it glorious for Him. Contend for this young lady named Brooke, because that's not too big for God. Just like her conceiving 8 years ago, 9 years ago was not too big. This is not too big. Father, we come to You and I thank You for today. I thank You for the privilege to come to Your house, the privilege to serve in Your name, the privilege to give in Your name, to love in Your name. I thank You for that privilege. I thank You for that opportunity. I thank You for creating space and making a way for redemption in our lives, in our world, for all of creation. And we celebrate that and we say yes to that. And Father, I pray that You would take each one of us and that we would not abide as a single grain of wheat, but we would allow You to plant us, to kill the old man and to resurrect, to sprout a new man, a new woman, that we would become something glorious that produces much fruit. And it brings honor and glory to You, Father. And I pray that our yes would be so loud and so distinct. There's no mistaking the desire of our heart. And I pray for everybody's yes in here today. I pray for the ground that You're going to plant them in. I pray and declare it would be holy ground, that it would be weed-free, that it would not get crowded out. The cares of the world would not pluck it, but it would go deep and it would go strong, and it would be glorious and beautiful as it blooms. I pray there'd be a bloom on our lives. I pray that there would be a bloom on our lives, and I pray that there would be a fragrance on our lives. Whew. Lord, I pray for Brooke right now. I pray that You would touch her where she's at. I pray that You would come in and You would reveal Yourself to her and You would minister to her as only You can. Touch the places that are familiar to You in her that are familiar to You, the places You touched when she became pregnant and she knew it was just You. She knew it could be nothing but You. And I pray You'd come in and You'd touch those places again right now. Breathe on them again right now, Father. Breathe on them again right now. Your life. Breathe on them, Holy Spirit. I pray for a rebirth. That things would come alive. That things would come alive. That it would come alive. Lord, I pray that You would keep her fresh on our minds so that we continue to contend for her, that it would not be something that we would forget after this morning. But as we come before You, Father, that would be part of our petition. It would be part of our declaration. It would be part of our release. And I just pray that, Lord. I just pray You just touch, declare wholeness over her, Father. It's in Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Amen. Y'all, please hang with me just a second. The Lord gave me a word for somebody while I was praying. When we were at Amber's house, the lady that runs Breaking Chains, she lives separately from her ministry building. The Lord just blessed her with a new house that she's able to move into, and it's got a little courtyard in it. And in the courtyard, there was a bush that was in the middle of the courtyard, and she said, "This is a plum bush, some type of a plum bush," and it had no plums on it, but it had flowering blooms on it. And the flowering blooms, it was a little small white bloom that were on this flowering, some type of plum bush I've never seen before. And I leaned in and I smelled the flowering blooms, and it smelled like jasmine to me. I told her, I said, "Man, this thing smells like jasmine." And the Lord, as I was praying over us, the Lord brought that to my mind. And the Lord's saying to somebody in here, you don't have the fruit that's manifesting in your life right now, but there's flowers. And the world can see the promise of fruit, because that's what the flower is. It's a promise of fruit. The world can see the promise of fruit. You don't think they can. All you can see is your barren branches. But the world can see the promise of fruit in your life. And not only can they see it, it's fragrant. So I want you to take courage, and I want you to have faith, and I want you to have hope, because you can't see it, because all the enemy's got your focus on is the barren branches. And God said that there's flowers. And that's the promise of fruit. And it's fragrant. And it smells beautiful. It smells beautiful. So I don't know who that's for in here, but that's somebody in this house. The Lord gave that to me while we were praying. I love you guys. Go smell like jasmine. That's what the world wants to. Go smell like jasmine. Y'all have an amazing week. We'll see you guys next Sunday.